the Lord. You are the evidence of his goodness. Amen? Amen. The evidence of his grace. The evidence of his resurrection. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer as we change the order of the service here tonight. Father, Lord, it's just a privilege once again to gather together. Father, Lord, it's humbling, Lord, to think of, Lord, what you've done for us. Lord, we didn't deserve it. Lord, we didn't have anything good coming, Lord, but yet, Lord, you saw fit to be our sacrifice, Lord, to go to Calvary and, Lord, take the stripes of humiliation, Lord, for our healing, for our salvation. Lord, to be able to lift us up to where you are, Lord, because we couldn't come to you, Lord. That gulf of sin was too great, Lord. But it wasn't too great for you. Lord, tonight we may find ourselves in a place that seems too great, too far out of reach, but it's not too far for you, Lord. Nothing's too difficult for you. No sin of the world is so great, Lord, that you can't reach down and find a lost child, a lost sheep. A sheep maybe who's lost its way, Father, in the storms of life. Lord, you're able tonight to deliver to the uttermost. You're able, Lord, to reach down and take a hold of a hand of a trembling child, Lord, who needs you. Lord, and steady that hand, oh God. And bring peace and joy to a heart that's, Lord, that's torn up from the strife of life. Lord, you're that kind of a God tonight. You're that kind of a Savior. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord, how we just are so thankful for it, Lord. That no matter what we're going through, Lord, we can come to you. And know that you understand, Lord. That you are mindful, Lord. That you're interested, Father. You want to help us, Lord. You know what we're going through. So tonight, Lord, we just commit this little time, this little service to you, Lord. We're dedicating it, Lord, to our young people tonight. Lord, knowing that they go through a hard trial, Lord, in this age. Also knowing that they're a target, Lord. Lord, we know there's great power when you can get a hold of a young person early in life, Lord. It sets them on a path, Lord, of overcoming and a path that shakes down the strongholds of the enemy, Lord. But we know the enemy knows that too, and he wants to get a hold of them for the same reason, Lord. But Father, I believe that you have a word for them, Lord. And I believe that you have a power for them, Lord. An overcoming power. Lord, I pray that they would be able to take a hold of that tonight. Lord, that this wouldn't be just a nice meeting for them, Lord, but it would be a meeting time with you, Lord. A time when you can come and, Lord, reveal yourself in the power of your resurrection. Won't you bless your word tonight as we read it, Lord? Lord, help me, Father, just to move out of the way. Bless every heart, Lord, that's listening and hearing. May they hear with spiritual ears, Lord, spiritual understanding, as you speak to them. Lord, as you speak to each one, lip to ear tonight, because we're looking to you, Lord. We thank you, Father. We just commit this time to you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. 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 Thank you, musicians. Praise the Lord. Amen. Just want to greet all of you tonight again in the name of the Lord. God bless those that are visiting with us tonight. So happy to see Brother Bob and Sister Kama with us tonight. God bless you. Amen. Our neighbors to the south. Amen. Cross the border. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's turn into the book of John chapter 16 tonight. And amen. We'll take a little text out of a scripture here in John chapter 16, verse 7. Jesus speaking says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away." Now, they knew him after the flesh, right? And this was Messiah, and they recognized that, and they were leaning on him in the flesh, right? And they were concerned and worried that he was going to be leaving them. What do we do? Right? Because he was their leader. And they were looking to him for leadership. They were looking, he was rabbi. Amen. Rabbi means teacher, leader, the one that we're looking to. They were leaning on him as they should have. Amen. But they're wondering, what's going to happen when you're gone? All we have is the rabbis and the scribes that, you know, and we know their problems, right? Who are we going to look to? Are we going to lift up a man? Are we going to have another bishop or somebody else, right? Who are we going to look to? But Jesus is saying, don't worry. Amen. Amen. It's actually better for you that I go away. He says, "For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you." So he's changing their thinking. Amen? That you're not going to be leaning on the arm of flesh. You're going to be leaning on him, the Holy Spirit. "For when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. And I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now." He wanted to reveal himself in a greater way, but yet he couldn't. As the men from Galilee. Amen? "Howbeit, he, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. And he shall glorify me." Right? He's not going to come and be greater, better, or whatever. He's going to glorify Christ. "For he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you." Amen. Amen. Jesus' words telling his disciples what is coming. Amen. Amen. You can be seated tonight. So we'd like to look at this subject here, our guide and shepherd tonight. And he is the great shepherd. Amen. Amen. And the Holy Spirit is our guide. Amen. So God had been with them, but he was now going to be in them. Amen. And this is a great transition in how God has worked and communicated with man, because he's always spoken through He had spoken through prophets, and then he had come and indwelt flesh, and that was how he was speaking to them. But he said, "No, I'm actually going to now be in you." Right. Amen. And the Spirit of truth will come, and he will guide you into all truth. Amen. And, you know, as we address the young people here tonight, what we really need, all people need, but especially when we're when we're youthful and we're starting out and we're starting our journey out in life, we have many decisions and choices to make, and when you get to be my age, all the decisions are behind you. You're kind of on a path of life, and you don't have as many decisions in front of you as you've already made to get you to this point. But young people, you have all those decisions ahead of you to make. And we need to know that He wants to guide us through that. That He wants to lead us. And the disciples were in this state where they had realized, we're starting to understand, and now we have somebody who we believe, and He's God, and He's leading us, and our eyes are beginning to be opened, and now all of a sudden He's going to leave? What's going to happen? But a corner was being turned. Yeah. Amen? Right. And God was going to change from leading them in an external way to being in them. Amen. In the form of the Holy Ghost. So we see there in verse 13, He says, He will guide you into all truth. He will speak back the word of God to your heart. Amen? He will speak of the things that have already gone forth in the word and will show you things that are to come. He will show you future prophecy. He will show you where you fit in the word. He will show you your name in the book of life. He will reveal to you personally that Jesus Christ is your Savior. Amen. Amen. He will show the Word of God alive today. And He must always agree with the past Word. This is how we understand what voice is speaking to us. By the Word of God. People say, well, God led me to do this and God led me to do that. Well, not if it didn't agree with the Word. That wasn't God speaking. You were hearing a different voice. Because this guide will lead you and guide you into all truth. And He will do it according to the word of God that's already been spoken. Yes, amen. Amen. Is that right? Amen. It must line up with the word. Whenever we come to a decision point, we're taught by the prophet, those are the things that we look for. First of all, is it scriptural? Is it something that is in the word of God and according to God's plan for our life? Amen? And then we're taught to examine our motives and our objectives. Why do we want to do this? And what are we trying to achieve? And does that line up with the Word of God? Amen? And we pray about it and we're new to Him. We let the Spirit of God bring the decision to our hearts and settle our hearts into the direction that He wants us to go. And He brings peace and comfort. Knowing that when we walk with Him, He will lead us and guide us. And that He will make a way before us. Amen. He will blaze a trail. He will remove obstacles that need to be removed. And He will make a way for His word to come to pass in our life. So when we look at this idea of someone that would guide, a guide is somebody that leads and directs another's way or their path. Amen? The Greek word is similar to journeying. So taking a journey and leading somebody on a journey. It's directing another's conduct or course of life. Now, the thing about having a guide or a shepherd or somebody like that is you have to be humble enough to let them lead you. Amen? Hallelujah. They're a teacher or one that leads on one's way, finding ways to overcome difficulty, guidance through dangerous courses. Amen. That's what God has promised to do for you. That's what the Holy Spirit is given for, to be your guide through life. Amen. So we understand that this journey that we're on in life is filled with struggles. It's filled with trials and it's filled with things that would try and steal our life from us. Yeah. Amen? And the guide's job is to navigate through that. Yeah. To get us through to the other side. His job is to take us from where we are all the way through to glory.
Amen.
Amen? Amen. And you know what's amazing about it is that when there's that relationship there where we accept Him as guide and He accepts us as the guided, amen, then He takes responsibility for us. Amen? It's actually His job to do it if we let Him do it. The problem is that too many times we try and take that responsibility back. Amen? So, Brother Branham, of course, being a hunter, a great hunter, and himself acted as a hunting guide and, no doubt had a lot of experiences with guides and as a guide. He used that, as an example of what the Holy Spirit does for us. And he said that a guide that leads us, or a hunter will hire a guide, just like you'd hire any professional to help you navigate through, something that you're unfamiliar with, or something that you're not capable of doing yourself, or they would be better at it, right? It's like hiring a lawyer to argue your case if you had to go to court. You can do it on your own, but it's probably not going to turn out very well. You're better off to get somebody who's a professional, right? And let them handle it because they do it every day. They're trained for it. They know the law. That's what they do. They're a professional. Amen? And, same thing with something like a CPA or something like that. I let a CPA do my taxes because I don't want any trouble and I don't want to mess with it. And I don't want to try and figure out, I drive myself crazy. Am I supposed to do it like this or am I supposed to do it like that? And I don't know. I'm trying to do the right thing, but I don't know what's what. And so let a professional handle it, right? So it's just like that, but we're speaking about a guide through life. Amen? There's lots of people out there. I guess it's been popular the last, decade or so for people to have life coaches. You ever heard of that? Get a life coach. And the life coach is going to help me through life. Well, God already promised that. Yes. Amen. Amen. These are ones that have specialized knowledge and training that are equipped to handle those situations. Amen. So Brother Branham talks about using a guide. And the guide is the expert. And in a hunting situation, there's many places that you can't even go to without having a guide. So like if you, for instance, you want to go to Alaska, different things that you can hunt there, and you want to go on some sort of adventure hunt, well, the law requires that you take a guide or that you're guided. Because they know that people will go out there and get themselves killed. Because they don't know what they don't know. Right? They think they know, but they don't know what they don't know. It's not their fault. They just don't know. Amen? And many times that's the way we are. We just don't know what we don't know. We don't realize how Satan is coming after us. How the hounds of hell are nipping at our heels. Amen? And we need a guide to lead us through. And so they require this, and the guide has to be willing to take responsibility for that person's safety. Now, Brother Branham says this from the message, a guide. He says, a guide has to know the way. He has to know where he's going and what he's doing and how to take care of you along the road. See, he's got to see that you don't come up lost. A guide is a selected man. The state selects this man if he is a guide. And now, in going on a trip into the wilderness, where perhaps you're not used to going, it's not a good thing for you to go without one. Frankly, some places you can't even go without one, for instance, Canada. The guide has to sign your license to the game warden. He has to sign himself in, and he is responsible for you. And if anything happens to you, it's his responsibility. He's got to take care of you. He's got to see that you're not lost. Oh, hallelujah. He's got to take care of you. He's got to see that you're not lost. He's got to be sure that he don't send you in somewhere that you don't know your way back. And if you do get lost, he's got to know the country so well that he can just go pick you up at any time. Amen. Hallelujah. See, he's got to know all these things or he cannot be a guide. He cannot be licensed to be a guide. For these, sometimes you have to have an appointment. Call ahead, make arrangements, get reservations to be taken out. And sometimes he's filled up and cannot take you. You have to put it off for a while, the earthly guide. But you never have to do that with God's guide. He's always ready. Amen. He's always ready. Now, if you don't get these preparations made and you're figuring on taking a trip into the wilderness where you haven't been before, you may come up lost and perish. You got about 1% chance to get out of the wilderness. That is, if it isn't too dense, you might have 1% chance to get out by yourself. But if it's very bad, way back, you haven't got a chance to get out. There's no way to do it because you find yourself on a death walk and then you're done and you're finished. Amen? And you'll perish if you haven't got a guide that knows the country and knows how to get back. You know what he's talking about with the death walk? When they start just going around in circles. Amen? When they think that they're moving forward. Oh, do we know church members like this? Where you think they're moving forward and all they're doing is going around and around in a circle and they come right on back. Amen? Right on back again. They haven't made any progress and they're slowly dying. They're perishing spiritually. Why? Because they refused the guide. They refused the leadership of the Holy Ghost. They refused to accept what God has provided and sent for them to lead them through that. Many times that takes the form of ministry. Amen? Many times that's how the guide uses ministry to lead us. Those are his offices. And he uses those gifts. That's how he does it. Amen. Many times. And so people will refuse that. The Holy Spirit is trying to lead them. He's trying to guide them out of the wilderness. He's trying to guide them into higher places and they refuse it because of the vessel that it comes through. They refuse to hear the voice of God because it's not acceptable to them to take correction from a pastor or a preacher or something like that. Too simple. Amen. But that's how he does it many times. Continuing on from the message, a guide, he says, a guide knows where he's at regardless of the weather. He's equipped to do that. He knows what he's doing. He's familiar with everything. He knows the looks of everything. So he can just be in the darkness and he could feel a certain thing. For instance, there's an old trick to a guide. You know, if you can see the stars, anyone can tell which way you're going if you'll watch the stars. And you always want to watch the one true star, and there's only one true star, and that's the North Star. Amen. See? And so he goes on and talks about that guide. Now listen, brother, sister. If you're out there with a guide, and he knows, regardless of the weather, in total darkness, and he knows this is the way we need to go. What would happen if you said, what are you talking about? It's dark. It's raining. It's snowing. It's cloudy. You can't see the stars. How do you know that that's the way to go? I don't believe you know what you're doing. What would happen? He'd probably say, well, it's tough. You're staying here. I'm going on. Right? Or he's responsible for it. He's going to drag you along. He's going to whack you on the top of the head and tie you up and take you. I don't know. But the thing is, if you refuse, if you question that guide, he's no good to you. Right? He can only help you if you submit. Amen? If you humble yourself and say, I have no idea how this guy knows which way to go, but I believe him because he's a guide. He's trained. He knows where he's going. But oh, brother, sister, we're talking about God. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the Word of God. Don't you think he knows what's best for you? Yes. Amen? Well, no, you know, I mean, it was good. Maybe it was good for you 20 years ago, but it's not good anymore. This is the modern age. Don't you think that he knows the beginning from the ending? And, you know, the God that created everything in all of eternity, don't you think he knows what's good in 2026? And he knew what was good in 2020 and 2010 and 2000. And he knew what was good in 1950 and 1960. And he knows what's good tomorrow. He knows the right way. No matter how far along we go, no matter how society changes, no matter how technology changes, how much time goes on, God knows. Amen. And he's worth trusting. Amen. Brother Branham goes on to say there's only one true star, and that's the North Star. That represents Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Others might wander away, but he remains the same. Churches might draw you off this way or draw you off that way, but not him. He's always the same. Yes. Now, if you can't see that North Star and it's cloudy, then if you'll notice if it's daytime and you're lost, you'll watch the trees. The trees, he says, the moss is on the north side of the tree. On the south side, it gets more sun. So he's just kind of telling some tricks of the guides. They know these things, right? If you'll close your eyes and don't try to do any thinking, close your eyes and get a slick bark tree and put your hands around and feel the tree until your fingers meet, and then start moving around that tree real slow. And when you hit a place where the bark is real thick or broke up, that's the north side. And you can tell which way they're heading, north or south. And oh, there's many things, but it takes guides to know how to do those things. Just an ordinary man would get up there and say, I don't feel no difference in it. See, you've got to be trained for that. Amen. Amen. So the guide knows the way. God has laid out in his word the path for us. It's the map for our life. Amen. Amen? He knows the way. No matter how bad the storms of life are, he knows how to get you on the right path. Even when our thinking is clouded, even when our decision making it gets all turned around. And it does. We get turned around. We get fearful. We get anxiety, we get influenced by all the things happening in life around us. But what we must do in those situations is come back to the guide and ask him, Lord, what do I do? What did you say of me? The guide will remind you, amen, who you are and where you're heading. Because it's not just that he can get you out of a situation, but he helps you and reminds you, why are you here? What are you doing? What is your path on life in life for? Amen. Man's wisdom will fail, but he will never fail. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, I'm so thankful. Amen. The pillar of fire is leading the church of God again. If we will follow it. Amen. Because he's God. He's infallible. We can have confidence in him. We can't have that kind of confidence in any man. Amen? If we would have that much confidence, you know, so much confidence in a lawyer or a doctor or some other professional, what about God, Almighty God? Hallelujah. Israel was led by the pillar of fire through the wilderness, and they followed. Whenever it would start to move, they would pack up everything and move. Because that's where we're going. Wherever God is, that's where I want to be. Amen. Amen? Abraham was led from place to place to place through his journey, not knowing really where he was going. But he was following God's leadership, going from one place to the next as God is unfolding his plan for his life. He doesn't tell us his plan all up front. He doesn't tell you, this is what's going to happen, and then this is what's going to happen, and you're going to do this, and this, and this. He doesn't do it that way. It's step by step by step. Here a little, there a little. It seems random sometimes. Sometimes it seems haphazard. Where Abraham was being led, you know, maybe he had no clue. I don't know, we're going over here now. Why are we going over here? I don't know, we're going here, now we're going here. But looking back, we can see it all a part of God's plan. Amen. He was doing something in Abraham's life and it had a purpose to it. It wasn't just haphazard. It wasn't just random. It was perfectly ordained of God. Amen. And when you look back on life, you'll be able to see things and places where, oh yes, this was a divine meeting here. I didn't know it at the time, but God was leading me and directing me. Amen. And I can see how he carried me through that situation. Amen. And that gives us confidence knowing that he's going to do it again and again and again and again. Amen. So he's our guide and he's our shepherd. And a shepherd, you know, he's likened to the shepherd. In fact, let's just read this, a couple of Psalms here. Some very familiar scriptures, but hopefully just be encouraging to us here tonight. Amen. Psalms 119, 105 says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Amen. And Psalm 23, 1, "The Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. Amen. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul and he leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Amen. Amen. I have kind of a quirky sense of humor in that I like to get little t-shirts that have little memorable sayings on it and such. And it's kind of, I don't know. It's a hobby, I guess. I don't know. But there's a shirt that I think I'm going to get. And it says, and you've probably seen it. You've probably seen the little saying. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I need constant supervision." So that's me. Lord, I need constant supervision. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. And you know what? He's offering that. Amen. He's offering that constant supervision.
Amen.
Amen. The shepherd just knows how to lead the sheep. And he knows just where the green pastures are. And he's amongst them. He lives right amongst them to always be with them. Amen. And to make sure that they have just what they need. Amen. And it's Christ in the church. He promised that he would be in the church. He promised that he would be with us, even in us. Amen. Leading us and guiding us. And the sheep, they don't question the shepherd. They don't worry about it. They don't wonder why. They just know that he is the shepherd. They have complete confidence in him. We need to be like a sheep. Amen. And the reason I like that little saying on that shirt is, it makes me kind of feel like a little, you feel like a child, right? Oh, that's kind of childlike. Well, I am his child. Amen. And I know that if I'm under his supervision, you know, it gives me confidence that, hey, he's going to make sure that I don't wander off into the wrong spot. Amen. He's going to watch out for danger. He's going to protect me. Even when I'm not keeping watch, he's keeping watch. Amen. That's what's beautiful about it. You watch some of the parents of young children, you know, those little kids, they're not paying attention about any dangers. They're not thinking about that. They're thinking about playing and running around and having a good time. But mom or dad is watching, or one of the deacons. Amen. Amen. They're shepherding them. Amen. They're watching. They're watching for danger. They're making sure that they're not running out into the parking lot out here when people are backing up. See, deacons, I'm doing your job right now. They're watching to make sure, right? Trying to help you. Amen. But the little children aren't thinking of that. And we don't, you know, when they're old enough to understand, then we instruct them. But when they're little and they don't understand it, we don't maybe even get mad at them. They're just kids. They're just running around. Amen. They're just having fun. But we're watching. And that's, I'm so thankful that we have a Father. Amen. Who watches us.
Amen.
Amen. He leads his people and he uses, as I was saying before, he uses the men of God that are called. He uses other small s shepherds, pastors, to lead his flock. He told Peter, "If you love me, feed my sheep." Amen. Because I love them and I care for them, and he's working to make sure that we are fed and taken care of, fed spiritually and taken care of and led. Amen? So Brother Branham says this in Why It Had to Be Shepherds. He said, and this was preached here in Tucson, he said, now, we're going to find out why it come to shepherds. They knew the sheep is helpless without the shepherd to guide them. A sheep is perfectly helpless and he cannot go by himself. That's the reason God likened his believing children unto sheep. They've got to be guided. But watch what's guiding you. Don't get a goat. He'll walk you to the slaughter pen. God never gave us a goat. He gave us his son, the Holy Spirit, to guide us. And he is our guide. Not a man-made herdsman, but God-given herdsman who feed the sheep upon sheep food.
Amen.
Amen. He said, you know, you take a pig and say to the pig, I'm going to make you a lamb, and you wash him, paint his toenails and so forth, and give him food like sheep and give him some kind of diet. I've never seen a pig with painted toenails, have you? Now, I've seen some pretty strange things. I've seen pigs with glitter on them and bows. And, you know, but I've never seen them with painted toenails. But you get the point, amen? If you try and make him like a sheep, give him food like a sheep, and put him out where the sheep herd is in the alfalfa field or something, if there's a mud hole, the hog will just go straight to that mud hole. And that's the truth. You can clean him up and it don't matter. He says, because his nature is still a hog. And that's the reason that church members today indulge in the things of the world, is because the nature hasn't been changed. Amen. We want a nature change.
Amen.
Amen. We want to have the nature of a sheep that will say, Lord, lead me.
Amen. Yes.
Lead me, Lord. I humble myself. Amen. And where you go, I will follow.
Amen.
Amen. Going on, it says, he promised he'd send the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He'd call a bride without spot or wrinkle. He promised to do it. He'll do it. Don't listen to these hireling shepherds and they'll lead you astray. The Holy Spirit is the shepherd to feed you sheep food from this word. It always comes by the shepherd. He is our shepherd. Listen to him. You are in the sheep, you are the sheep of his fold. If you are, hear his voice. Not what somebody else says. You hear what he says. A strange voice you know nothing about. That's why we don't listen to voices of the world.
Amen.
Amen? We don't listen to voices of science that are against the Word of God. Amen. We'll listen to them as long as they agree with the Word of God, and there's some benefit to that, but this is the voice. We don't listen to voices of worldly friends or worldly influences, worldly family members even. Amen. We listen to one voice, and that's the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking His Word. Amen. That's what we want to be led by. That's what we want to be influenced by. Is that right?
Yes.
Amen. And then just one more here in the Church Age book. He says, when I was over in the East, I saw that nighttime shepherds would gather his sheep together, put them in the fold, and they would all count them. And he was sure when they were all in there, he would lie down in the open door of the fold and literally become the door to the fold. And no one could get in or out except by him. He was the door. Amen. He is the door to the sheepfold. He is the one that we go through Christ to gain access to that sheepfold. Amen? And he's the one that's going to protect the sheepfold. He protects the church. Amen? And he keeps anything out of it that he doesn't want out. He's the door. Amen? And he goes on to say, he says, he was the door. The next day, as I went riding with a friend in a jeep, I noticed that a shepherd began to lead his flock into the city. Right away, all the traffic came to the stop so that the sheep could go through. Now, the cities over in the East aren't like they are here. We keep all our merchandise inside, but there was like a big farmer's market with all the produce on the pavement for the passerbys, so they just laid it out on the ground, right? And I thought, oh my, here's where the riot begins. A whole herd of sheep's going through there. Right? He says, wait till those sheep see all that food out there. But as the shepherd went ahead, those sheep followed right along exactly in each step.
Amen.
They would look at those goodies, but not a sheep touched a thing. Oh, if I could have only known their language, I would have stopped traffic myself and preached them a sermon on what I had just seen.
Amen.
Amen. You see, brother, sister, their eyes were on the shepherd. Amen. And they could look at the goodies, but then they would look back to the shepherd and follow. They were following his lead. He was not going over. He was not going after those things. Those distractions. Things of the world that the devil will put out there to try and tempt you. Here, how about this? How about a little bit more money? How about a raise? How about you go here for this? Or you'll be more popular if... But they would see that, of course. Who wouldn't see it? They looked at it and saw it, but then what did the shepherd do? Did the shepherd go that direction? Nope, he's going on. I'm going to go with him.
Right.
Amen? They look at it and see it. Of course, we're tempted by those things.
Right.
We want to be popular. We want to be, you know, we want the blessings, the things of the world in our flesh. Those are things that are would tempt us. Amen? But it's not what we want. It's what he leads us to. He says, when you are a sheep that belongs to the great shepherd, you follow right along in each of his steps, just as those sheep did. You won't be tempted to turn aside for some big flower of a church or listen to the voice of some DD or PhD or LLD, but you'll stay with the shepherd. The Bible says the sheep know his voice and they follow him. But a stranger's voice will only cause them to flee and run after their true shepherd.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. This is one of the reasons why I follow this message. Amen. Because I hear the shepherd's voice through the message. Amen. I met the shepherd. And he gave me his spirit. And whenever I listen to the message, I hear him speaking to me. The one that I met, the one that filled me with his spirit, I hear his voice through that. That's one of the reasons why I come to this church. Because when I hear the word preached, I hear the voice of the shepherd.
Amen.
The word coming over this pulpit. Amen. God uses that and speaks to me. I hear that one that I love. That one that I'm trusting. That one that I've placed all my confidence in. To lead me and guide me through life. From a young man, when I was just a young teenager, when I committed my life to God, and he began to deal with me, and he began to lead me and guide me, he's led me every step of the way, and he's still speaking to me, and he'll speak to you. Because the Bible says, Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. I'm not interested in hireling shepherds. Amen? I've been turned back to the original faith of the Pentecostal fathers. And I hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. And God using Holy Spirit filled men to speak. Because it's not man leading man, it's the Holy Spirit using men to lead men. And there's a difference. People use these quotes where Brother Branham says, oh, we don't want to listen to the voice of some man or this. And they say, well, we don't need preachers. Well, that you're just missing the mark.
Right.
There's a difference between the Holy Spirit using a man.
Right.
And that's part of how he does it. Amen. The problem is when men try to lead men without the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Leading them. Jesus said in Luke 6:39, he spake a parable unto them. He said, can the blind lead the blind? Won't they both fall into the ditch? Seems pretty obvious, right? Why would you choose a blind man to lead you?
Right.
I'm already blind, so I'm going to pick a blind person to help me across the road. And yet, people will run after ministers that aren't filled with the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's the blind leading the blind.
Right.
Somebody who's not filled with the Holy Ghost being led by somebody who's not filled with the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Amen?
Right.
This word here, where it says, can the blind lead the blind? That word lead that I put in bold there. That is the word where Jesus said, it's the same word where Jesus said, He will guide you into all truth. It's the same word. Lead, guide. Amen? But we shouldn't fear to be led by the Holy Ghost. Because He promised He would. Now, this is more than just having the right information. All right? It's more than just having knowing a correct doctrine.
Right.
Knowing a correct doctrine is good. But it's more than that.
Right.
Amen? It is more than just having more information than the Baptists.
Yeah.
And too many times people are satisfied with that. Well, we know this doctrine, this truth was restored. Hallelujah. We've got that word. We've got the truth. That is true. But it's more than that.
Amen.
When He said He will lead you into all truth, He was speaking of far more than that. Although that must be there. Amen. Let's look at Acts chapter 8, verse 26. The angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem into Gaza, which is desert. So he says, Philip, go down towards Gaza. So he arose and went. Talk about being led. Amen. The angel of the Lord spake unto him and told him to go down there. So he went. He didn't ask, well, why? And, well, what about? And, no, he did it.
Amen.
He arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem for to worship. You see, there was a divine appointment that he had for him.
Yeah.
He was leading him and guiding him so that these paths that had never crossed before, we're going to meet.
Amen.
Amen. And as a believer, you have to know that the people you meet and the things that happen are not by accident.
Right.
Amen.
Even if it wasn't an angel that came and told you.
Uh-huh.
Right? Because an angel didn't come and tell the eunuch. Right? But yet God was directing his path. So he was, verse 28, he was returning and sitting in his chariot and reading Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit said to Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. So Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah. And he said, do you understand what you're reading? Amen. Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except a man should guide me? Well, how about that? Except a man should guide me. And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. So he needed someone to teach him. He needed someone to take the word of God, rightly divide it for him, break it down for him so that he could understand it and receive it. And it was the Holy Spirit doing it. But Philip was the one to do it. Amen? Amen? The Holy Spirit rightly divides the Word of God. The Holy Spirit reveals the Word of God to us. But many times He uses gifts like Philip to do it.
Yes, amen.
And many times we don't even know when we're being used of God. But we have to trust. Amen? That He is leading us and guiding us.
Yes, amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So He's leading us into all truth. To be led into a truth is more than just getting the correct information, like I said. It's to know it, to be intimately acquainted with it, to experience it. Amen? To know that that word is true because you've lived it. Because you've been through it. Amen? To know that by His stripes I am healed because I've been healed. Because to know that he is a present help in time of trouble, because he's come in my time of trouble, and he's been a present help, and he showed himself a friend. Amen? To have it living and working and changing our lives. To receive a word when the word of God comes. It's more than just to say, yep, that's true. It's to take that and to submit yourself to it and say, that's true. Lord, help me. I forgive me. Lord, let that become true in me. Lord, I surrender to that. Lord, I'm humbling myself. I'm laying myself before. I'm saying, Lord, I'm acknowledging I don't measure up. Right. Amen? Amen? That's how he leads you into all truth. He leads you into a living truth. Not just understanding with our heads. A believer that's not filled with the Spirit of God can hear the word preached by a Holy Ghost filled preacher and receive it in their head and yet not be led into that truth by the Holy Ghost, because it's just knowledge to them. But young people, he wants to lead you. He wants to be your shepherd. And to do that, you have to humble yourself and say, Lord, I want to be led. You have to be leadable. Amen? You have to be moldable. It's the word is malleable. Right? You have to allow yourself to be shaped by him. You have to allow him to work on your life. He won't do it unless you permit it. Brother Branham said that the Holy Ghost, he's a gentleman. He's not going to force his way. You have to say, Lord, come. Change me. Lead me. Guide me. You have to seek out that leadership. Amen? When it comes to making decisions or it comes to setting priorities in your life, you have to pray and seek out, Lord, what do you want me to do? He's not going to come with a megaphone and say, what are you doing? You have to seek him.
Right.
Lord, help me. You have to prayerfully seek and read his word. Amen?
Amen?
To be led into the Spirit of truth. He leads you into the whole truth and nothing but the truth.
Amen.
Amen. And if we allow it, that becomes the foundation for our lives. And it's a firm foundation. It can't be shaken. When a wind of doctrine blows through, it won't shake. It'll hold. When a storm of life will come against it, we're on a solid rock. We're not on shifting sands of what I thought and what I wanted to do and I thought this was best. No, you're founded on, I know that God has me here. And I know I'm where I'm supposed to be. I know that he helped me and led me to this decision. And so here I stand. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, it says, but as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Wow, what a promise, huh? But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things. Yea, the deep things of God.
Amen.
He will reveal to you what God thinks of you. Amen? Mm-hmm. He will reveal to you the deep things of God. As I said before, we mustn't limit this to doctrine. Doctrine is important, but it's... And we mustn't limit it to like big decisions in our life. Although big decisions are important. Right? But how about just everyday life? Amen? John 14:26, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things into your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. So he promised to lead us in all things. Amen? Bring all things to your remembrance. Amen? All things, big and small. all things, that He would reset our priorities in life. Amen. When we get into trouble, we call on God, then we're always behind. Amen. But if we put Him first constantly in every little decision in our life, then He has leadership. And then that's real leadership. Then He's leading us and guiding us. You choose what your attitude will be. Amen? You choose what your attitude will be. Somebody else doesn't choose, you choose. How you act. How you set your affections. Where are your affections? That tells a whole lot about what's on the inside. Amen? We've preached before about, it's been a while I guess now, about what is the appetite of your soul. Right? What is drawing you? What are you feeding on? Right? That tells a whole bunch about your priorities. What you value in life. What your attitude is in prayer. We've seen prayers in the Bible where a Pharisee is saying, "Oh, God, I thank you. I'm not like that guy over there. And I thank you. I'm not like these other ones. I thank you that I'm a Pharisee and I'm this and I'm that." And he's all proud and lifted up. And the other one is crying out, "God, help me. I'm a sinner." Amen. He will lead you into truth about trials. When you go through a hard trial, He'll remind you, "I've got this under control. This is for a purpose." Amen? But we can refuse that leadership and say, "Well, I'm going to be worried anyway. I'm going to fret about this anyway. I'm going to let this get to me anyway." Even though the Holy Spirit is trying to lead you. He's trying to lead you into peace. He's trying to lead you into still waters. But the whole time you're saying, "Nope, I'm not gonna let him lead me. I'm gonna be upset." Guilty. Amen. "I'm gonna worry." And all the time, the great shepherd is saying, let me. Amen. Confession of faith in the face of adversaries, in the face of every temptation and trial. Amen. But He's promised that He would lead you. Isn't He wonderful? I mean, you know, people pay a lot of money for that. Like I said, they pay a lot of money for life coaches. People to help them make decisions and give them advice. And look at all this for free.
Right. Right.
Amen? True. And heaven too. This is the best bargain you could ever ask for.
Right.
Forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. But we have to choose to follow. Whether we like it or not. Whether we like the direction or not. "Well, I don't like the way that the guide is guiding." Well, you're not the guide.
Right.
Amen. Brother Doug always puts it, he always has his ways of saying these things, and he always mentions how when he was hiking with somebody, and I think they had lost their light, right? And he had a light, and it was dark, and he's the one with the light, and he knows the way out, and they're walking in front of him. Right, Jeremy told the story. "Why are you walking in front of me? I'm the one that has the light. I'm the one that knows the way out. Wouldn't it be smarter for you to walk behind me?" But you see, people don't want to humble themselves. Amen? Just admit that that guy knows where he's going and you don't. Amen? And get out of this safely. Instead, no, I've got to be in charge. I've got to be in front. I've got to save face. This walk, brother, sister, is humbling. It's humility. It's admitting, I don't know the way. Amen. Another definition or another part of that definition of a guide is a steadying force. Amen. It's a power that steadies you. When you're shaken and maybe deviating from the path, he gets you back on track. And he holds you and keeps you going. Amen. He steadies you when you're shaken. And you think of like a, if you've ever seen like chains that are moving really fast, or like belts like on a machinery, and when they move really fast, right, they're spinning or something like that, and they can kind of get a little off kilter, right? You ever seen that? And man, if they get off and they can jam up the machinery, and it's horrible to try and get them back on. I know you probably, nobody probably has bikes with chains. I don't know, maybe whatever. When I was a kid, we used to ride our bikes and you'd throw the chain off and you had to try and get the chain back on, right? Or we worked around machinery that had belts and stuff on it and it would get off track, and you'd, or like if you have a treadmill, like with one of those tracks, if the thing gets off kilter, man, it's hard to get it back. And so what they do is they put little guides. Right? They put these little guardrails on it. And what does it do? As soon as it starts to wander a little bit, if it's allowed to wander, it's going fast, right? The thing is spinning really fast, the belt's moving. If it starts to wander a little bit, it could just... But the little guide keeps it.
Amen.
It gets over and it bumps up against that guide. And the guide says, nope, that's far enough.
Amen.
You're going a little too far this way. Get back where you're supposed to, and it just corrects it. Maybe it starts to go the opposite way, and then there's a guide on that side that says, nope, back this way, and it keeps it right down the middle. It keeps it from throwing it off. Amen? It's a steadying force. It keeps you on the right track. It keeps you walking in the ways of the Lord. It keeps you walking on the path of life. Otherwise, we would go to the left or the right and we would end up in that ditch. What does that mean to end up in the ditch? It means your life gets shipwrecked. You go through things that you shouldn't have had to go through. You fall away. You're backslidden. You're broken by the world. Betrayed by the god of this evil age. You go after the shiny things of the world. You go searching after the riches or the fame and the glitz and glamour of this world's riches. You go after that and the guide says, nope, you're getting too far. But you ignore it and go off. You go off track. And you end up broken. Betrayed. The history is littered with stories of people that started off in church. They started off the right way. And they got pulled away by one thing or another. By fame or riches. I mean, even many of our entertainers started out in church. They started out singing praises to God, using their talents in church, and they were pulled away by the world's vain riches. And they ended up shipwrecked. Oh, sure, they have money. Sure, they're famous. But what do they really have? They end up with nothing. They end up broken. Because they jumped across the guide. They didn't let the guide keep them on the right track. Amen? The Holy Spirit is a steadying force. The Word of God is a steadying force in our life. But we've got to let it keep us on track.
Amen.
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 One more from the message of guide. He says, the Holy Spirit always speaks of the Word. And I've got many things to tell you that you cannot understand it now, but when he comes, he'll guide you into it. And that's the reason of the coming of the seals. At the finishing of the seventh seal, the mystery of God should be finished to know who God is, what he is, and how he lives, his nature, and his being. You know, if somebody ever asks you, what is the seventh seal, or what's the reason for the mystery of the seventh seal, this is a good answer, right? To know who God is, what he is, how he lives, his nature, his being. You're supposed to be all the way up here by that time, see. I think he's probably talking about that, right? All the way up there. Bring us to the full statue of sons and daughters of God, a church that's washed in the blood of Christ, that's bought without money, it's paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now here we are, a guide, and he is God's provided guide. Now we're going through a wilderness, and we're on our road somewhere. We can't get along without this guide. And dare anybody to try and substitute any other guide. If you do, he'll take you off the line. This guide knows the way. He knows every inch of the way. He knows every thought that's in your heart. He knows everybody that's here. He knows who you are and what you've done and all about you. He's God's guide, the Holy Spirit, and will reveal things to you and will tell things that he's heard. Can repeat your words right back and say what you've said. Amen. Tell what you've been, what you've got, where you're going. A guide, the correct guide, and he will guide you to all truth. Amen. And his word is the truth.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. The thing is, brother, sister, you know, it's funny. There's a lot of, in culture and news and things like that, you'll hear this term thrown around. They'll say, oh, this is an unprecedented event. Nobody's ever heard that.
Right.
Unprecedented event. They like to throw, especially in politics, because they like to get in a big huff about things. Right? This is unprecedented. What does that mean? It just means it hasn't happened before. That's what that means. Unprecedented. Well, guess what? Every moment of your life is unprecedented.
Right.
Amen? It's new.
Right.
You're going through things now that you've never gone through before. Right? Tomorrow you'll go through something that you've never gone through before either. And our whole life is made up that way. The church is going through things now that it's never gone through before. The first church, the second church age, third, fourth, on and on and on. Each one went through things in their time that the previous ages didn't go through.
Right.
We're going through something that the previous ages didn't go through.
Right.
Amen? We're living in unprecedented times. And it's true. But the Holy Spirit led them through each and every one of them.
Amen.
There's nothing new under the sun for him. There's nothing to him that is a surprise. It's a surprise to us. Whoa. Surprise, didn't know we were going to go through that. But he knew it.
Amen.
He knows it. He's led every single one through of it. And it settles us down to know that he's in control.
Amen?
Amen? Do you believe that he's making everything run just right?
Amen?
Amen? Do you believe that that's his responsibility?
Amen.
He's taken that responsibility willingly if we will allow it.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
Let me just read to you one more statement from the Laodicean church age. Let's stand tonight. He says, the Son died upon the cross to establish the means of salvation, and the Holy Spirit carefully executes the will of the Father. Think about that. He's executing the will of the Father. And he wants to do that in your life. Amen. He is working all things at this moment. At this moment. That moment there, this moment here. He is working all things according to the purpose of his own will. He's orchestrating this one to come there, and this one to be here, and this one to be there. When God would show Brother Branham a vision of something that was happening, every little detail was orchestrated by God, and he would put it right in its place. And this one had to set their coat over here, and this one had to pick up a hat, and then this would happen. Amen? He's orchestrating it all. He says he is right in the midst of it all. He's in the midst of his church. This great Creator, Savior God, is faithfully working amongst his own right now as the great shepherd of the sheep. His very existence is for his own. He's invested in this. He's invested in you. The least we could do is surrender. Amen. But what do? We push him away. Amen. We reject his leadership. We take our own thinking. But his very existence, he says, is for his own. He loves them and cares for them. Amen. Do you know that you're loved tonight? Do you know that you're cared for? He loves you. He cares for you. His eye is ever upon them. Amen. Some people will look at it like that is a negative thing. I don't want God watching me. I do. Amen. I want him watching over me. Amen. Because Amen. He has my best interest at heart. He wants what's best for me. Amen? I'm not trying to see what I can get away with. I want to walk in the best that God has for me. His eye is ever upon them. When the word says that your lives are hid with Christ in God, it means exactly what it says. Amen. Oh, I'm so glad that my God abides faithful. He is true to himself and he won't lie. He's true to the word and he will back it up. Amen. He's true to us. And he will lose none of us.
Amen.
But raise us up in the last day. I am glad that I am resting in his faithfulness. Are you resting in his faithfulness tonight? Or are you resting in confidence in your own devices, your own self, your own capability, your own decision making? I would encourage you tonight to be resting in his faithfulness.
Amen.
Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He is the head of the body. Amen? And he's committed himself to safely seeing you through to your destination.
Amen.
How many is going to follow him?
Amen.
Amen. You want to follow? You say, Lord, you lead me.
Yes, Lord.
I'll follow.
Amen.
Amen. Wherever you go, I want to go.
Amen.
Wherever you lead me, I'm trusting you.
Yes. Amen.
I may not understand it. I may not know, you know, why or anything about it, Lord, but I trust you.
Amen.
Amen. Do you trust him that way tonight?
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Let's just sing that. Where he leads me, I will follow. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's just recommit to him tonight. Amen. As our shepherd and our guide. And say, Lord, I don't want to have my own thoughts. Lord, I want to go where you lead me. Amen. Where he leads me, make that your prayer tonight. Lord, maybe I haven't surrendered to you as much as I should, Lord. Maybe I haven't let you lead me and guide me. But Lord, I want to do that tonight. Lord, I want to surrender and say, Lord, where you lead me, I will follow. I'll go with him. I'll go with him. With him. Oh, oh, hallelujah. Where he leads. Yes, just sing it to him as a prayer tonight. Where he leads, I'm gonna follow you, Lord, wherever you go. Leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him. With him. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. If that's your prayer tonight, just lift your hands up to him. Say, Lord, I surrender to you tonight, Lord. I surrender my life, Lord, to you. Lord, I'm going to give you all of me, Lord. I'm not going to hold back. Maybe you've been holding back on God. Maybe you've just been skating by, not surrendering all of your life to him. But he wants to be Lord of all. He wants to be Lord of every part of our lives. We want to open every door, every window in our hearts and let him have his way. If that's you tonight, just raise your hands up to him. Say, oh God, I surrender to you, Lord. I want to let go, Lord, and let you have your way. I want to surrender in a greater way, and I know, Lord, you're going to lead me. I know you're going to guide me. Oh God, you see those that are lifting their hands to you tonight, Lord, and I pray that you would meet them right there, Lord. Meet them right there in their seats tonight, oh God. Lord, and prove, Lord God, that you are the great shepherd tonight, leading us and guiding us in all things in our lives, Lord. Leading us into still waters and green pastures, Lord. Lead your children tonight, Lord. These young people, Father, they need, Lord, in this hour to follow the living God, Lord. They need to know that the pillar of fire is leading them and guiding them. Lord, I pray that you make yourself so real to them, Lord. Lord, that there's no question, oh God, that there is a living God in their midst. And may they surrender to it tonight, Lord. Maybe not listen to other voices, oh God, but may they listen to the voice of the shepherd. Hallelujah. And I know that you'll take them through, Lord, because you promised that you would. Lord, you promised that you would take us through. We're trusting you tonight to take us through all the way, Lord.